Praise God. He's good. Is God good? And all the time, God is good. Who are we that He would choose us? Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Lord. Lord, Father God, You have chosen us because You love us. And both parts of that statement, Lord, just bring amazement to me. That You would love me. That You would love us. And You would choose us to be Yours, Your special treasure. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence here. We thank You, Lord, for all You do and all You're going to do here, Lord. I believe You're going to do things in people's hearts today. I feel Your Spirit in this place so heavy today, Lord. And Lord, we welcome it. Oh, Lord, we desire it. We desire more of You, Lord. Send Your Spirit. Send Your love. Reveal Your Word to us, Lord, as we study Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did God invent time zones? No. So when something starts in Jerusalem, I believe it starts everywhere. And there's something starting right now in Jerusalem. And like I said, God didn't create time zones, so I believe it's starting everywhere. So I'm going to try this again. I tried it a couple of years ago, and it didn't go very well, but with God's help.
Anybody that was here last time, that was better.
Today, or actually on our calendar, it says tonight, but it's nighttime over in Jerusalem right now, starts the Feast of Tabernacles. And I believe that's a very significant holy day, because I believe that the Lord, when He comes back, is going to come back during the Feast of Tabernacles, so it could be in the next 2 days. It's a 2-day feast. So no one knows which day it's going to be. No one knows which hour it's going to be. But I believe when He comes back, it's going to be during that feast and during that time. So even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We're ready for You. Are we ready for Him? Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus' disciples asked Him, "Teach us how to pray." Romans 8:26 says that we don't know how to pray as we ought to. We don't know all the things that we should pray for. We need His leading. Our scripture today was, as most people guessed, and I'm sure everybody knows, was the Lord's Prayer. That's what we call it. Some commentators don't like that term because they say it's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is actually John chapter 17, the prayer that He prays for us. But I don't have a problem calling it the Lord's Prayer because it's the one He gave to us. It says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Are we supposed to write it or recite it word for word? Yes, I believe we are. But it's also a form of how we should pray. It's not a prayer that we should repeat mechanically. Jesus talked about vain repetitions. And this is a prayer that if we're not careful, it can become that. We can be praying it and all of a sudden keep praying it, but still, you know, be thinking about the pot roast and the crock pot at home. We need to look at each phrase, each part of it, and we need to keep it in our mind as we pray it. This prayer isn't a magical charm. There's nothing superstitious about it. Some people say it's a Jewish-only prayer. Matthew and also Luke, in a condensed form, both have this prayer. And I'm of the belief, and a lot of commentators are, that Matthew was written for the Jewish believers and Luke was written more for the Gentile believers. So that tells me that it's for all of us. And besides, who do we address it to? Our Father. We notice that the pronouns are plural. So it's appropriate and we are encouraged to pray it during group prayer. But also it's intended as a prayer for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Because after all, we're all in this together, aren't we? It starts out, Our Father. 1 John 3:1 says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. God is our Father. When I was chaplain of the jail in Oregon, the inmates there had a real hard time grasping that concept that God is our Father. Because most of them, many of them, maybe all of them, didn't always have a very good relationship with their father. There are people here in this room that didn't have a very good relationship with their father. So the idea of calling God Father just seems like something foreign. But we need to remember that He's a Father in the sense that He's what a father should be. And as fathers, we should always try to be the type of father that He is, our Father. Years ago, I was sitting in a church and waiting for an evangelist to start up. I got there a little early and I'm sitting there and basically I'm not feeling too good about myself because there are times, many of you may feel this too, but there are times when I don't feel worthy enough for God. And I'm praying, and I'm kind of beating myself up a little bit before the Lord. And I had something incredible happen to me. I know if you've been looking at me at that time, you probably wouldn't have seen anything. But as I'm beating myself up before the Lord, groveling in the dirt before Him, all of a sudden, I felt myself picked up, lifted up, thrown up in the air and caught. It's one of the most incredible experiences I've ever felt. I know it was real. But that's what He is. That's the way He approaches us. That's the way He feels about us. He's our Father. He loves us. He loves us beyond a love that we can't even understand. How can we grasp His infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of His love? In Ephesians, it talks about the breadth and the height and the depth and the length of His love. His love. We're His children. He is our Father. He's our Father in three ways. First, by creation. Malachi 2:10 says, Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Secondly, He's our Father by covenant relationship between the Father and the Son, and because of our relationship with the Son. Because God is His Father, He is ours. John 20:17, Jesus said, "Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Thirdly, He's our Father by regeneration. When we're born again, we're made partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature." In other words, like Father, like Son. Galatians 4:6 says, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Isn't that wonderful? In the Old Testament, in times of trouble, His people pleaded this relationship to God that we find in Isaiah 64:6-8. "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all are the work of thy hand." Our Father. Our Father. As I said, we're all in this together, aren't we? Our Father, which art in heaven. Which art. He is. Those two little words that start that, which art, tell us that He is. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it's impossible to please God. Those who come to Him must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." If we pray to God, then naturally we have to believe that we're actually talking to somebody, don't we? Which art in heaven. God is everywhere. But His throne, the seat of His government, is up in heaven. When we pray, whether we look up or whether we look down, whether we pray with our eyes closed or our eyes open, it doesn't really matter, does it? I do all of those a lot of times. I do it during worship. Sometimes I'm looking up, sometimes I'm looking down. I've got my eyes open, I've got my eyes closed. But that's not what it's all about, because what we're supposed to be doing is we're supposed to be lifting our hearts up to Him. We're supposed to be lifting our petitions up to Him, our loved ones, the people we're praying for, lifting up to Him. Because He's higher than we are. He's above us. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And we rely on that, and we know that, and we believe that. And yet, He came down to our level, didn't He? Isn't that amazing? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means holy, consecrated, venerated, sanctified. Hallowed be thy name. You notice it doesn't say hallowed is your name. Although that's true, His name is holy. His name is sanctified. His name is venerated, consecrated. But it says, hallowed be thy name. This prayer is written up, is made up of seven petitions. The first three deal with God. The last four deal with us. Three is the number of resurrection, the number of revelation. It's also the number of the Trinity. It's a number for God. So that fits in real well, doesn't it? Four is a number of creation. It's a number of man. So that fits in real well too, doesn't it? But we always have to start with God. Hallowed be thy name. That's a petition. That's asking that his name be hallowed here on earth as it is in heaven. May your name be hallowed in the world and in my life. Hallowed be thy name. The Ten Commandments were told not to take his name in vain. It's not just how we refer to him, his name. It's everything he is. Psalm 20, verse 1 says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." Proverbs 18:10 says, "His name is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." It's more than just what we call him. It's what he is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I said that already once. I'll say it again. It's worth repeating. But it's also, we want his kingdom here. We want his throne established in this world and in our hearts, don't we? His ways. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come is admitting where we've been. Who has had dominion over us? Sin and the devil has had dominion over us. But it's also turning from that, repenting, is submitting to God. And asking him to set his throne up in our hearts. It's repenting and submitting to God's control and his will. His will. That brings us to the next one. Thy will be done. Jesus prayed this when he was in the garden. If it's your will, Lord, take this cup from me. I don't want to have to go through this if I don't have to. If it's your will. In fact, Jesus tells us to pray that, doesn't he? It's right here. We just read it. Thy will be done. A lot of people have a problem with that. I had an evangelist friend that used to visit us when we lived in Oregon from time to time. Her name was Judy. And she was a very, very bold person. She'd be sitting there on the porch of our house, and she saw some kids, some teenagers, walking down the street. And she goes running after them and says, "Hey, let me tell you about the Amalek dudes." I said, "What?" Amalek dudes? Well, she's talking about piercings and, you know, because they had piercings and everything. And she's talking to them for a while. 5 minutes later, they all have their hands in the air and they're all accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Bold? Yeah. But there's one thing I didn't agree with her on. She asked me to pray for her once, and I prayed. And then I ended the prayer by saying, "Thy will be done." And she got upset. She said, "You just ruined the whole thing." If it isn't his will, why would we want it? I had a 66 Ford pickup once that I made payments on. I finally paid it off, and as soon as I paid it off, the engine went out in it. And so I took my vacation money and I bought a used engine out of a junkyard, and it ended up being in a very, very good condition. It was like new. And I put the engine in the truck. Well, I didn't, but I had a friend that was doing this. And I got it running, and I was very happy with that truck. It was a nice-looking truck. And I used to back it up in my driveway up in front of my garage. And when I was in the house, I'd look out the window at it. And one day I'm looking out the window and the Lord spoke to me and he said, Wayne, I want you to give away your truck. What do you do? Do you think I'm going to be driving a truck that God doesn't want me to have? No. Who are we to dictate to God what his will should be? Arise, Peter, kill and eat. No, Lord. No, Lord. Do we say that to God? We don't accept his will in our lives. He knows what's best. He knows the big picture. We might have a bigger blessing than we can imagine down the road just by submitting to what he wants to do in our lives. I heard Jesse Duplantis say once that God can't bless what he can't conquer. What he has to conquer is our will. We have to yield that to him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. As I said, to bring heaven down here. But doesn't this place on us a certain responsibility? Aren't we supposed to live in such a way, or our actions and the things we say and the things we do, aren't they supposed to be done with that in mind? Give us this day our daily bread. This is the first one that we see that's personal for us. Give us this day our daily bread. This isn't just talking about physical bread, is it? And it's not just about food. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Give us this day. When? This day. Today. When is today? Somebody said now. When is now? Right now. God is a God of now, isn't he? And forgive us our debts. Each one of our sins, each sin is a debt owed to God, isn't it? We're asking him to cancel that off of his ledger. Like an accountant would a debt that you owe, because that's what it is. Some translations say, forgive us our trespass. Our trespasses. What's a trespass? Basically, it's being somewhere you're not supposed to be. Infringing on someone else's property. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit off the tree, guess what they were doing? They were trespassing somewhere where they weren't supposed to be. They were told not to be there. Besides that, they were stealing. It wasn't theirs. It says, give us. And forgive us. The two go together. How can we enjoy God's blessings if we're under the weight of unforgiven sin? It's wonderful that God is a giver, but of course it's even more wonderful that he is a forgiver. We can have a full stomach and still go to hell, can't we? As we forgive those that trespass against us, if we're not forgiving others as he forgave us, it doesn't show a whole lot of thankfulness for what he did for us, does it? It doesn't show a whole lot of value that we might, you know, value that we would be placing on what he did. His forgiveness. Lead us not into temptation. Once again, it says us. God teaches us that we are to be as concerned for others, our brothers and our sisters, as we are for ourselves. So what's our part? Lead us not into temptation. Do we have an obligation? Can we just walk into any place that we want to that maybe God wouldn't want us to be and expect Him to protect us? We have to watch out for what we do also, don't we? We have to avoid situations. We have to avoid places. Sometimes we have to avoid people. Sometimes we have to move to another state just so that He can work in our lives. But deliver us from the evil, or from the evil one. We're not to pray to be exempted from temptations. Temptation itself isn't a sin. Even Jesus was tempted. But we're to pray to be exempted from the judgment of them. John 17:15, Jesus, when he was praying, said, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil, or from the evil one. Can God keep us from giving in to the evil one? From doing horrible things or from being horrible people? I believe He does, and I believe He has. The more I was in the jail, the more I saw the people in there, the more I realized that there wasn't a whole lot of difference between them and me, that I was capable of anything that they were in there for. But for the grace of God, there go I. Because God's grace, and that's what we're praying for in this prayer, is that God's grace would keep us from doing what we're inclined to do. We see the work of each member of the Godhead at work here. I know there's some people that don't believe in the Trinity. That's, as I read the Bible, that's what I see in there, so that's what I believe. Who gives us our daily bread? God the Father. Who mediates and offered Himself a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins? God the Son. Who leads us and seals us to protect us from the evil one? God the Holy Spirit. They're all in there, aren't they? Of course they are. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. How do we know that God is able to do all this, or willing, or that He would answer our prayers? This doxology tells us that. For thine is the kingdom. He has the authority. For thine is the power. He has the ability. He has the means to do it. For thine is the glory. He has a motivation, because everything He does is for His glory. And we should pray that everything He does, that He'll be glorified in it. We see the clauses, all of them, pretty much throughout the entire Old Testament. Going to compare 1 Chronicles 29:11. This is a prayer that David prayed. He said, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. That was pretty much our worship service, wasn't it? And it wasn't planned that way, except by God. He planned it that way. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. For how long? Forever. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Forever. It'll be a long time, isn't it? And of course, it ends with the single word, amen. That word expresses both our desire and our faith. Amen literally has two meanings. It literally means, so be it, and it will be so. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your instruction and your guidance. And we thank you, Lord, that you do provide all these things for us. And Lord, I just pray that you just be strong in our hearts and in our lives. And you would keep us strong and focused and determined to do things your way, Lord. To seek your ways. To seek your heart. To follow strong after you. Lord, I pray that you'd go with us as we leave. And I pray, Lord, that you'd just be glorified in everything we do. Keep us safe. Keep us close to you and bring us back safely tonight when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.